If you haven't already, sort of been a theme going on this morning, unbeknownst to me, but God had already planned out a lot of what has been said or sung or played. And so I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe there is absolute truth? Do you believe that there is only one way for a reconciled or a relationship with God? And do you believe that that is only found, that one way, in Jesus Christ? Okay, think about that. If there is absolute truth, if there is only one way for a reconciled relationship with God, and if that one way is Jesus Christ, what distinction is there for those who believe that? What ramifications are there in the life that is led out of that absolute truth? Is there power? Is there hope? Is there freedom being lived out of a life that believes that absolute truth? If there isn't, then one, Jesus isn't who he said he is, or maybe we're not living out of that power or out of that hope, or maybe Jesus is just one God out of many. Do you realize that in the Hindu religion, I read that some source said there are 32 million gods. Another source said 330 million gods. Now, that is a polytheistic religion, meaning that is many gods. And oftentimes we see the reality of those who live bending their knee to many gods. But before we start throwing stones, we have many gods here. Lance said some of those gods. They're not as formal or well documented as gods, but they are gods. And we are so quick to give credit for the power and the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ and his Spirit moving upon the earth, spreading his kingdom, making himself known. We give credit to other gods sometimes. Sometimes those gods are us. So God moves around the earth demonstrating his absoluteness, that he is the only way, that he is the only true God, that there is none beside him. And sometimes we take that and give credit to man. That was man's intellect. That was man's genius. Well, I was able to do that because of my experience. God wants to use us mightily. He wants to work in great power through us. He wants to demonstrate his absoluteness. He wants to demonstrate that he is the only true God in the earth. And oftentimes, man steps in front of that when he is in the process of revealing himself. And we just sort of want to get some credit for that. We want to share a little bit in the glory. Unfortunately, Christianity in our society, in the West, oftentimes is not seen for serving the one true God. Christianity oftentimes is seen around the world, and I will tell you, I've been there, as self-serving, self-reliant, self-glorifying, leadership being arrogant, puffed up with knowledge. And it is sad because God wants to reveal the true reality, the absolute truth that he alone is God. I have been fascinated. I've enjoyed the book of Acts. Here is the gospel being proclaimed, the truth of God, that had oftentimes, most of the time, been misinterpreted, now was being exposed for what it is, the absolute truth. And Jesus coming and power being manifested by the Holy Spirit throughout the earth and people coming to Christ and coming into real relationship with Him. And so we have Judaism. Judaism is the religion of the Jews. It is monotheistic. Mono meaning one. One God. Even though God had revealed to this group of people that mystery of the Trinity, of the triune God, it is evident there in the Old Testament, yet they believed in one God. And so here comes Jesus, and he is showing them who he is, and he is placing himself as the Son of God, and absolutely, after his death and resurrection, he is demonstrating himself throughout the earth as being the Son of God who was once dead and now alive. And people in every religion is coming into reality of relationship with God. It's amazing. But to this monotheistic group of people, these Jews, he becomes a stench in the nostrils of the Jews. He becomes the stumbling block. He is the cornerstone, which becomes a stumbling block for these people. Yet in the midst of that, people are coming to know Jesus as the Son of God. They're coming to know and realize the absolute truth. And their lives are being transformed. And they go out and they begin to demonstrate this life of power and of freedom and of goodness and of the trueness of who God is. And then we come to the place where it is being offered, this truth, this absolute truth of who Jesus is, to the Gentiles, to the Greeks. Those Greeks who had multiple gods, they were polytheistic, they had, I think, 12 like mainstays, but numbers upon numbers of other gods. And so what a message. What a message is being proclaimed throughout the world to the Jew who was more apt to say God is a God of justice. God is a judge or a God of punishment. God is a God of rules and regulations and standards. And here comes this message that God absolutely delights in them. And they don't have to do anything for him to delight in them. And this message is coming to the Greeks. The Greeks who fought hard and placed themselves in bondage to please their gods. And here comes the message that Jesus is not displeased with how he created them. He is not displeased for what his heart is for them. And his desire for relationship with them. What water to dry ground. What a message to be sent throughout the world, both of the monotheistic group and the polytheistic group and every group in between, that Jesus Christ is the true way, the true life, the truth that is being proclaimed throughout the world, and this truth is good. It's like the song says. And this truth about him is good. And it's about hope. And it's about grace. And it's about love. No wonder this thing's catching fire. For those of us who are in deep relationship with him and know these things to be true about him, those things, those words, those concepts, the message just bursts joy in us, doesn't it? It almost makes your heart burst because we know these things to be true. And so Paul and Barnabas have this great opportunity to be sent out. There's a group of people that are in this reality of who God is. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, we're still living in the world. Yes, there's conflict. Yes, there's people from both sides of the fence who are coming against this. But they're living in a reality of knowing that they have the truth, that this message is the way, that this message, there is no other way. And they're going out to proclaim this. Acts chapter 14. Verse 1. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jews and the Greeks. So it doesn't matter. This message is relevant to all because it is the absolute truth. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. Do you get the picture of what's going on here? There is a stir, there is opposition, but Paul and Barnabas are stepping into this, being persevering through this, hanging on, being in the midst, giving margin for God to demonstrate his awesomeness, right? He is given opportunity to proclaim who he is, what he's doing around the world, and people are watching this. They did not disengage, as we are apt to do, right? We are apt to think of our issues and our own struggles and the persecution that we are enduring. We go into this self-preservation mode sometimes and say we're going to bear our cross and we're going to walk this way and poor us. Paul and Barnabas stepped into the fray in order that God would have margin to demonstrate who he is. And you know what? He doesn't need any help defending himself. He will make himself known. How? Signs and wonders, healings, workings that are supernatural, people being set free and transformed, a life being changed. That's a miracle in itself. But God is demonstrating who he is. And Paul and Barnabas are not disengaging until a time when God releases them, when hearts, the hard hearts, those who are opposing them, come up in their face. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And they were there, and there they continued to preach the gospel. This message is important. This message is important. Now, if there, in fact, are a bunch of gods and none are greater than any other, and this is an absolute truth and truth is just relevant, then you know what? In the face of danger, go ahead, disengage. Make your life as comfortable as you can. However, if there is absolute truth, and if Jesus is the way, and if this message sets people free, and if God wants to demonstrate himself to all the world, and if his heart is to reconcile everybody back to himself, then the message is important. Right? Therefore, what we do in relationship to that message is important. So they move on. And at Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him, had seen that he had faith to be made well. Said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. Now, this is another instance where God said, there is absolute truth, that Jesus Christ is the way. He was once dead, now alive, and he demonstrates himself in power. And so God is demonstrating this by healing this man who was lame from birth. However, I believe this message went much deeper into this man than just a physical healing. Because that is God's intent. When he demonstrates himself around the world with great power and healings and with supernatural happenings and miracles, his intent is that the message would go deep, that it would transform from the inside out. So I believe this man who is sitting here listening is wanting even something more than healing for his legs. And I believe he got what he wanted. I believe that message went deep. I believe when he was on his deathbed, maybe at a place where he couldn't walk any longer, and his body's wasting away, there was something that was birthed in him at this point that was reliving itself over and over in his heart. That he was pondering on these things and the wonder of God making himself known to him personally. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice saying in the Laconian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." They began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanting to offer sacrifice with the crowds. Let's stop right there. So understand that here's an opportunity for other gods to get credit. Here's an opportunity for Zeus and Hermes to get credit. Or, more importantly, here's an opportunity for Paul and Barnabas to get some credit, right? Come on. I mean, they gave up everything to be in this place. They've had experiences with Jesus Christ that were life transformed. They had opportunity to learn and to grow. And so it was quite natural for them to be able to speak like this. They should receive some credit, right? They should get some of the glory. They could reasonably say, we know these things to be true because we have experienced them ourselves and we speak from wisdom. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you. We preach and preach the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God." People, what are you doing? They tore their robes. I'm sure that there was great heartache in their hearts as they ran out and said, "Stop! Stop! We're the same as you. We have the same nature at war in us as you do. We preach, though, this message of absolute truth, that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and this message is freeing for you. Don't give us credit. Do not give attention to us. It is the message that a God loves you and wants to reconcile you to himself. This living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, that's pretty conclusive. He is the one who is speaking to you. And the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. And yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. Is this just too wonderful to understand or to grasp? That there is an actual God who does these things? Is there an actual God who actually loves me at this depth and demonstrates this much grace? I'm wondering if that crippled man is sitting there saying, could this message be for me? These things are just way too wonderful. I can't grasp them because of the beauty of the message. And yet, this is what God wants to demonstrate throughout the world. Here's the danger. God said he wants to use you. He wants to use you. So in other words, if he wants to use you, guess what he wants to do through you? He wants to demonstrate power. He wants to demonstrate his spirit. He wants to demonstrate himself to the world. He wants to demonstrate himself to the world through you. So therefore, you're going to say things that didn't come through the intellectual process in your brain. You're going to do things, you're going to respond, you're going to react that is not natural to you. Just as Paul said, we have the same nature as you do. But this God wants to use us. And so Paul had no ability to look at this guy and one, discern that there was actual faith, but two, to tell him to get up and stand up, upright. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Barnabas. It was Jesus Christ making himself known to that people. He wants to do the same through you. So now we got to figure out what our responses are going to be. When someone says to you, oh, you helped me out so much through that. Your words were what I needed. I cannot believe that someone would give up their Saturday to make me a meal. Wow, that gift was beyond generous. You helped my family get through another month. All these things that we wouldn't readily say maybe were miracles or supernatural acts. In fact, we probably would just maybe give credit for our own experience. Well, I know that God's helped me before, and I just felt like I needed to help you. Well, I got that wisdom because I went through something like you, and I learned from it. I learned the hard way. All these things, I think, are just subtle ways in which we sort of take a little bit of the glory. Well, No. I'm just doing what I feel like I need to do. When all around us, God's moving in power and glory. And you know what the response of a pure reaction from his kids become? Humility. Absolute brokenheartedness that I would even think of taking anything away from Jesus. The whole attitude of turning around and just falling to your knees in humility and saying, that was absolutely not me, because bottom line is, I wouldn't give you a red cent if it was up to me. Right? I wouldn't. What are you kidding me? Football's on. Why would I make you a meal? I mean, these are some of the ugliness that we have inside of us of our own nature that Paul says, I've got it as much as you got it. But to turn around and to give Christ the ultimate glory and say, you know what? He changed me. I was exactly like you. In fact, I am still like you. I don't know why that came out of my mouth. Only to say that it must have been the power of God. It must have been his genius, his wisdom, and a word of grace to you. And you know what? When I spoke it, it spoke to me too. And so why don't we just take that as a word from Christ for the both of us? You know what? I would have never given money if it weren't that God revealed this amazing grace to me. And even though it's hard to give it to you, he's helping me give it to you. But understand, this gift's not from me. This gift is ultimately from a God who made everything. He's the absolute. He's that and more. And he wants to demonstrate some grace and love to you. How good and right and pure is that? When God moves in the earth, in power, in his total greatness, when he helps and teaches us to respond in humility, he is ultimately seen for who he is. We no longer become that cog in the wheel, that obstacle that is put up in front of people, that people are trying to look and trying to see where the source was, trying to see who in the world would have done this for me. When we move ourselves out of the way, guess who they see? They see Jesus. They see Jesus. They see someone more wonderful than they can even picture in their head. We've got to move out of the way. Let's pray. Father, who could be this wonderful? That is the struggle I believe that I have oftentimes and the world has. No one can be this beautiful and wonderful and full of grace, that they would actually do something like this. But it is you, Jesus, who is the source of all that grace. It is you that move and act and have your being in us, giving it us everything that we need in order to demonstrate your character. Forgive us, forgive me, for all the times. God, I picture those photo bombs when people are stepping in the way of the camera, making sure their face is seen. God, nobody needs to see our faces. They need to see your face through us. I pray that there would be a clarity in our testimony where people do not see us, but they see you. And you know what? We're just sort of forgotten. That's okay. God, would you please use us to that capacity where we aren't even seen, but you are seen for who you are. You are absolute truth. You are the one and true God. There is none beside you. All heaven, all earth, all created order will eventually bow their knee to you. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus, you have come to teach us these things. And you abide in us by your Spirit. We desire to be put in places of humility, that you would be seen. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.